Reggae Uprising with your host, Denise.
Greetings, Reggae Uprising podcast family, and welcome to another episode. Now, if you are fresh and new to Reggae Uprising podcast, it is all about connecting people of the African diaspora through wisdom, overstanding, inspirational stories, all backed by a soundtrack of sweet reggae music. So each and every week we feature a new guest who shares their wisdom, their works, their journey, and seven reggae selections to act as the soundtrack to their interview. Also, through Reggae Uprising Podcast's lifespan, we have had special series, special editions, where we have focused on a specific works, a specific topic that you as the listeners have told us you want us to focus on. It might have been a specific brother or sister, a specific point in time. There are so many special editions, special episodes, special series alongside all of our interviews featuring our brothers and sisters. There are so many episodes for you to tune into, for you to listen to be inspired by, to use on your own journeys. So if you haven't already subscribed to Reggae Uprising Podcast, please do so wherever you are listening. Alternatively, you can subscribe via my website, daniel.co.uk. That's daniel.co.uk. That link is also in the description as well. And if you subscribe there, you will be kept up to date with not only Reggae Uprising Podcast, you'll be kept up to date with my shows, my new music, and all those little extras as well. Because as well as being the host of Reggae Uprising Podcast, I am also a songwriter, event host, a entrepreneur of natural companies, as well as a marketing consultant too. So if there is anything you'd like to get in touch with me regarding any collaborations, any future projects, or possibly any events, booking me for any shows as well, please get in touch on the contact page via daniel.co.uk. That's the best way to connect with me. So again, that is daniel.co.uk. And like I said, you click on the contact page, get in touch, and I'm sure we can connect and collaborate. Alternatively, you can also find all of my social media links at the top of the homepage. So you can also follow me there as well. Before we get started, I just want to big up all of my regular listeners, all of you that are subscribed, that listen in each and every Wednesday. Thank you so much for your support, your beautiful comments, all of the love and sharing these works. It really does make all the difference. So if you're a new listener and you enjoy these episodes, please do share the positivity, because this is what Reggae Uprising is all about. Uplifting and empowering wisdom for brothers and sisters throughout the African diaspora. Right, I think that's enough talking from me. We're going to get started with this week's guest's first selection, which is Bob Marley, Roots Natty Roots.
Dread, dingy dread.
week's guest recently opened up for Ziggy Marley, completing a 9-date summer tour across the US and performing her current EP, which was released under her recent distribution partnership with Tuff Gong Worldwide. I would like to welcome this week's guest. Greetings and welcome, Keziah.
Yes, I give thanks for having me. Give thanks.
You're more than welcome. Now, would you like to tell us, before we get started with our interview, why did you choose that first selection that we just heard?
The first selection was chosen because, you know, roots are the roots. You can't go around from it, you know. And that's from even just knowing your history so that you know where you're going. It's the root is important. It's like a foundation of a house, you know. So that's why we can't run from the roots.
Now, as we ask all of our guests here at Reggae Uprising Podcast, as this show is all about connecting the African diaspora, can you tell us more about your heritage?
Yes, so I am first generation American. I was born to two Jamaican parents. And I grew up I was blessed with the opportunity to go home like on a yearly basis. So I was deeply in the culture from a young age. So aside from like gospel, R&B, and like the American influenced music, I had strong love for reggae and dancehall stuff from roots, you know?
So can you tell us a little bit more? Can you delve a little bit deeper in terms of your parents, their story of Jamaica to America?
Sure. My parents, they migrated in, what was that, the 80s. And they were married before and they came here together. And they started to build a life from there. I'm the youngest of three children. My eldest, he transitioned in 2012. So it's two of us now. And yeah.
So what was their reason for coming from Jamaica to the US? Was it a specific job? Was it other family members coming over? What was their reasoning?
It was a mixture. There was family over here and also to get better job and schooling opportunities versus like, you know, Jamaica. It's not so as many opportunities, of course. And so they just wanted to make a better life for themselves and their family.
And what were the works that they decided to uptake in the US?
So my father did electrical work. He does electrical work. And my mom is more in the office, payroll stuff.
And can you tell us a little bit more about their meeting in Jamaica? How did that come about? How did their love story happen?
They actually met through a mutual friend, and mutual friend. It's like, oh, I think you like her, and the rest is kind of history. They have been together since teenage years.
So from viewing their relationship growing up, are there any aspects of their relationship that you would like in your own relationship?
I definitely have learned about determination and willpower and the power of, you know, longevity, you know, like working it out and sticking through it, through the ups and downs, because life it can be crazy, you know. But to have somebody there through it all is a blessing.
So growing up in the US, what were the music you could remember listening to in the house? What was like the favorite food that you'd have like at the weekend that you remember?
Yes. So my mom more so was the one that would play gospel. So I'm getting like American gospel, Caribbean, you know, old school gospel, the classics, what everybody know. And yeah, that was a main focus in my life because I grew up strict Seventh-day Adventist. So I was in church every Saturday, and my Sabbath start from Friday night to Saturday, and I wasn't able to do anything secular. And that means, like, not pertaining to, you know, God or Jesus or something like that, you know? So that was the main force, like, gospel. But my dad, now, he is, like, the really eclectic one. So he would buy, like, those, I don't know if you remember those commercials, but over here we have the commercials where they would promote, like, Motown CD bundles. So you would get, like, all the different years. I don't know if they sold them like that over there, but over here they would do that. And my dad, he had, like, a whole collection. So he introduced me to, like, Motown oldies and all that stuff, and that's where I really got my love for that genre. And also, like, the reggae that he grew up on. Which he's well-versed in reggae. So that's where I get my culmination of music, and then just what I like in growing up in the U.S., going to school and getting exposed to different genres.
So I'm intrigued now. You're saying that their style of music is completely different in the way that you're saying that one was secular and one wasn't. So how did that come about in terms of in the household then? Were you not allowed to play certain music when mom was around? Did dad play the music when she wasn't in? Like, how did that work?
Yeah, that's usually what it was. Like, we know if we're riding in the car with her, we can't put the radio on a secular station, or just in the house when she's there, she doesn't really want to hear anything outside of, you know, Christian or gospel music. Yeah, that's her thing. But she knows other music. I think it's just her choice to listen to gospel and Christian music.
So did they also have opposing belief systems, or how was that?
No. My dad, he's Adventist as well. So it was just, it's truly just a choice. And, well, then yes, I'm going to say yes, because, like, if you look at any religion, within that religion, you're going to find people that ultimately believe, like, the big things, but there's certain small things that some people may not see, or they just see it different, but under the scheme of things, they're still under the same umbrella, if that makes sense.
So would you say that she was more strict than your dad? So they had similar beliefs, but she was a little bit more strict?
For sure.
And what about the food? Who was the chef in the house? Who was the one that cooked all the traditional Jamaican foods? And did, like, my the pops. Fact that they came over, did they diversify and take on some of the American foods as well?
Well, my pops was the main cook. He cooks, like, Jamaican food to this day. Like, his main thing is, like, provisions and some type of meat or saltfish ackee and them good vibes day, you know? That's usually was the main vibes in the house, unless we were to order out. But when we were younger, like, that wasn't a thing. We weren't really, they mainly had us have home-cooked meals.
So if you were going home now and there's one, like, dish that reminds you of home, of your dad's cooking, like, and it could be any dish ever that he cooked, what would be, like, your favorite one that just makes you feel good and happy and brings back all those memories?
Well, I don't eat meat anymore. Well, it's just fish. So the only one I can really say right now is, like, ackee and saltfish, fried dumpling. Or kalalua style fish, you know, and even like cabbage and fried dumpling, that reminds me of like Sundays in my house. And yeah, for sure, that reminds me of home.
And did he pass down his recipes to you, or did you have to start off your own recipe?
No, I was daddy's girl, so I definitely would be in the kitchen with him when he was cooking. So I would watch, and I definitely, you know, got the chef's blessing. He passed it down, so my hands, they work pretty well in the kitchen myself, so.
Speaking of which, what is your signature dish? So say there's like a family party, and you know everybody has their thing that they cook really well. Like, what is your thing that you cook really well that everybody always asks for you to bring?
There's a few things, but if it's like vegan, I would say like my bean stew. I would do like a 3-bean stew or something like that. Cook it down in coconut milk with like brown rice and some stir fry, some vegetables of choice. And then definitely like my salmon. Salmon's good. And pasta. There's a few things, but those are probably like the main things that would be requested.
Now, before we get into your next selection, can you give us any like phrases that were used by either your mom or dad or family members or elders that kind of have evolved with you as you've got older? So they're like little phrases that might be said in the house that kind of had one meaning when you were little, and that as you got older, you've kind of realized the meaning of those phrases, and maybe you want to pass them on to your own children.
Yeah, I can think of definitely recently, well, not recently, but something me and my grandmother were talking. And we were talking about a particular thing, and she just kept repeating time. I know it's just one word, but the way she was repeating it was something like, everything works out in a way, and it's in time. Some things, you have to put effort in, into, you know, finding solution or doing something better. But in time, you'll see, and in time, things reveal. That's definitely something that I am constantly thinking about, and how time itself is just, it's a funny thing. It's a very funny thing. And then I guess another one would be relating to time again. Just when my parents would say, "Yeah, I was just 25 yesterday," or something like that. And when you're young, you hear that, you know, at the particular age that I remember hearing it, I was like, oh, 25 is a big person. That's a long time ago. But in retrospect, being the age that I am now and looking back at even like 10 years, the years fly by, you know. So that's something that I think about, is just making the best of the time that you have and being present in the moment, because that's how you miss the blessings, not being in the moment.
We are going to move on to your next selection, which is India Irie, Heart of the Matter. Why did you choose this selection?
Yeah, so that song, I listened to like in a very specific point in my time. It's like when I started to address certain things. You know, we all go through stuff and have things that we have to work on within ourselves. And just the words of the song is getting to the heart of the matter. Again, going forward to the root, you have to get to the root to actually, you know, fix the whole thing. We can do, you know, stick a Band-Aid on things, but that doesn't necessarily heal the main issue. So I like the fact of going deep and going deep within.
Here we go with India Irie, Heart of the Matter.
I got the call today. I didn't want to hear, but I knew that it would come. Friend of ours was talking on the phone. She said, "You found someone." And I thought of all the bad luck and all the struggles we went through, how I lost me and you lost you. What are all these voices outside love's open door? Make us thrive our contentment fighting back for something more. I've been learning to live without you now, but I miss you sometimes.
Now, you touched on earlier the fact that your parents were both Seventh-day Adventists. Can you tell our listeners, for anybody that's not aware, delve a little bit deeper?
Okay, so Seventh-day Adventism is basically believing in the second coming of Christ. We believe in... Can we start over?
Yeah, that's fine.
Let's go start. All right. So Seventh-day Adventism is... the belief in the second coming of Christ, worshiping on the seventh day, which is Saturday, and it is recorded from Friday sunset to Saturday sunset, would be the entire Sabbath day, similar to the Jewish religion. It has there's a same Bible. Old Testament, New Testament, they deal with both. It's pretty strict, I would say. Believe in the prophetess Ellen G. White.
So you mentioned that in terms of your childhood a little bit earlier on. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and within that kind of culture in your childhood compared to somebody that wasn't as part of that faith?
Oh, it was very, that was a very interesting dynamic, because it's like being raised in a strict Seventh-day Adventist household, and then going to like a public school is a very different thing, because automatically, we don't celebrate any holidays like Halloween, and then something like Christmas is technically not really celebrated, Easter and stuff. So Halloween is a huge culture here in the U.S. So it would be a thing like, you know, everybody's dressed up in their costumes and I'm just in regular clothes and people don't understand. Like Friday nights I can't go, Saturday I can't really do anything until after sunset. So it's definitely something that I had to build tough skin and get used to. Having to deny hanging out with my friends, and like you miss the whole thing because it's like in church. So that was hard growing up until I got to the point where I was just used to it, and I definitely had you know, my closest friends were in church too, so that helped a lot. But it was a big contrast growing up in school and in the church that I was raised.
We're going to move on to your next selection, which is Lauryn Hill, Doo Wop. Can you tell us why you chose this selection, please?
Oh man, that's a classic from, you know, Al Boogie. There's so many that I love from Lauryn Hill, but yeah, this one is definitely a classic.
Here we go with Lauryn Hill, Doo Wop.
Since you were looking for your friend, the one you let hit it and never called you again. Remember when he told you he was about to bend your man? You act like you ain't him, they give him a little trim to begin. Now you think you really gonna pretend like you wasn't down and you called him again. Plus when you give it up so easy, you ain't even fooling him. If you did it then, and you probably can. Talking out your neck saying you're a Christian. A Muslim sleeping with the gin. Now that was the sin that did Jezebel in. Who you gonna tell when the repercussions? Spent, showing off your ass cause you're thinking it's a trend, girlfriend. Let me break it down for you again. You know I only say it cause I'm truly genuine. Don't be a hard rock when you really are a gem, baby girl. Respect is just a minimum. Minimum. And you still defending them now. Lauryn is only human. Don't think I haven't been through the same predicament. Let it sit inside your head like a million women in Philly pen. It's silly when girls
they'll sell their souls because it's in. Look at where you be in. Hair weaves like Europeans. Fake nails done by Koreans. Come again.
Can you tell us a bit more about your school days, your education? What were the subjects that you liked, disliked? Was school a great place for you, or was it a challenging place for you?
For the most part, it was a good place for sure. I was I ran track for most of my, especially like junior high and high school. I ran track. And in school, like, my favorite subjects were definitely, I love the arts, so those were definitely always something special to me. Math, certain types of math I loved, and yeah, I was definitely more of an arts girl, and math, some science too.
So were there any particular vocations that you wanted to have at school, and did they change when you left school?
Yeah, for sure. I definitely changed my mind a few times. I didn't realize how special music was to me. It's just something that's kind of always been around me, and I always did it. So I guess doing music in this capacity a long time ago wasn't necessarily what I saw, and it wasn't something that was very celebrated either, because, you know, like, it's not a promised thing, and it's not necessarily easy in the quest to become able to sustain yourself doing music, you know? So sometimes I studied sociology in university, and I did minor in music, so I loved sociology and like psychology. Those are subjects that I really took to.
And what was it about those subjects that you were so intrigued by?
Because I think the study of just like people and how they work, and I always loved culture. I was fascinated with different cultures, like when people are from different countries and stuff, I love learning like something about their culture, or at least like a certain phrase, a key phrase, and I do my best to, you know, remember that, and if I meet someone of the same culture, greet them in that way. It just makes things special. But I've always been super fascinated in that way.
We're going to move on to your next selection, which is Judy Mowat, Black Woman. Why did you choose this selection?
Man, that song is so powerful. I ran that Judy Mowat Black Woman album red. Like, I played it so many times. That was a pivotal point in my life where I was really taking on, like, Rastafari and diving into music a lot more. And she was a sister in a way that really touched me. Her version is one of my favorite versions of the song, and it's just a powerful woman, Black woman, like, super powerful, imperative message for us.
Here we go with Judy Mowat, Black Woman.
Black woman, black woman, like me, you've struggled long. You've trod one of life's roughest road, to get the heaviest load. Dedicate my song. but no need for that now. Free yourself of that now and help me sing my song.
So can you tell us of the transition, the catalyst as well, from moving from the world of psychology and sociology into making that very definite choice of having a musical career? And how did that impact, you know, your standing within your family? What were the repercussions from that?
Ooh, okay, that's a good one. Good one. So when I was studying sociology and sociology and music education, I was singing and performing and recording simultaneously, but school was my main focus. When I made the choice to pursue music, that wasn't the easiest thing to let my family know. It wasn't received in the best way either. That was definitely a very interesting time in my life, where I learned a lot about myself and learned a lot about how important music was for me, and also realizing that it's a lot bigger than me. And the great thing about sociology that helps me even in my writing and in my topics, because a lot of times we, like in sociology, you're learning about, you know, the struggle of people and social conditions. So, like, my first project that I related, it was called Trot in the Dub Tape, and in between each track, I would kind of, you know, it would be a talking segment, and a lot of that I would introduce some of the things that I learned within sociology. So it all kind of came full circle, and things come full circle. Like my grandma says, time. Time.
So speaking of time, how long did it take for your family to kind of acclimatize themselves to this new life that you were about to set into?
Some are still adjusting. Some are still adjusting, and some have, I have a good amount that are, you know, they embrace it and they love it. I had a show in the hometown recently, and there were so many people that came and showed out who weren't necessarily on board initially, but seeing it happen in real time has made an impact on a lot of people for the better.
And how would you say your relationship is with that side of your community now?
Oh, I mean, really, in this point in life, I just try and keep good relations with people. I've been super focused on my career and just making things happen. When I see them, it's all good, and I'm super thankful for the support that I do get.
We're going to move on with another one of your selections, which is Burning Spear, Jan Oded. Why did you pick this selection?
Burning Spear is one of my all-time favorites. Burning Spear is one of those brothers where he doesn't have to fill up his song with lyrics, but the message and the vibes is unmatched and so powerful. Jan Oded, Jah is alive and well, and I see it every day, so it's just a reminder.
Here we go with Burning Spear, Jah No Dead.
And they try to fool the black population by telling them that Jah Jah dead. High in our nose down, Jah No Dead. Jah No Dead. Jah No Dead. Jah No Dead. Jah No Dead.
say. A rumor, 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 democracy. A rumor, 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 democracy. Janaday, 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 Janaday.
Can you tell us a little bit more about your relationship with music, why you picked the genre or genres that you chose? How did that all come about? Tell us more about the start of that journey in terms of your musical journey with your own works and your own performances.
Okay, so like I said, I grew up singing in the church. I was in choir, I was in a trio, I would sing solos. And the first song that I ever started to write was in church. It was like, it was a gospel song. I didn't really take it serious, or maybe myself serious at the time, so I didn't really do anything with that at that point. Now, high school, that's when I was older, so I was able to listen to more stuff and go out. And so that was a time where I was really into reggae and dancehall and everything. So I would go online, and my brother, he was a producer too. He produced rhythms. My older brothers, they were into music, so they were a big influence too. So I would find rhythms and just blank rhythms, go on YouTube, and I would start writing. So that was kind of the genesis, was later in high school. And then I had a Bergen where I grew up with, and he was recording in his house, and I started doing background vocals for him. And he was a reggae singer. So that's where I really got my introduction into singing on a reggae track. It wasn't until I linked with another producer within Chicago where I started to actually write and record my songs. And 2014 is when I released my first project.
Can you tell us more about that project?
Yeah, in 2014, I released my first project, which was Trod in the Dubtape. It was a mixtape, but it was original Dub Foundation tracks that I sang original lyrics for. And since that project was kind of the thing to be like, yeah, this is what you're supposed to be doing.
With that in mind, can you remember your first performance?
Yeah, my first performance was in 2015 at a place named Buku in Evanston, and that's the town that I grew up in. It was a show with me and two other artists that were under the same camp, and then Firestar, he's out of Texas. He's a Jamaican reggae artist out of Texas, and Bergeron Ross Arcane, he was working at the spot. And yeah, that's kind of where things really started to take off.
And how did you feel doing that first performance of your works?
Oh, I was so shy. I was super, 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 super shy. I was blessed with the ability to sing, but as time evolved, like time went on, that's when I began to learn myself and, really come out of my shell more. So who I am today is completely different than I was 2014 when I first performed. Like, I was even scared to talk, how nervous I was. But I give thanks for that still, that I fought the fear and I went out on stage and I, persevered.
We're going to move on to your next selection, which is Desiree, Love in Your Meditation. Why did you choose this selection?
This selection is crucial. this album, Loving Your Meditation, that was a key album I listened to, like, shortly after my brother transitioned. It helped me a lot, and it was something that I had to, you know, it's another one of those reminder songs where love is, like, the most important force of all, and, yeah, we just have to remind ourselves that, to not even just to give it to everybody, but also ourselves. We can't forget ourselves in that.
Here we go with Desiree, Love in Your Meditation. Now, I know this is going to be a difficult question, but where are your favorite performances so far?
Wow. This is hard. I've been asked this quite a few times in a short time, and it's still been difficult. I can say for sure West Coast of the U.S. has a special place in my heart. I was blessed with the opportunity when I opened for Ziggy to have three shows West Coast. I had two in Colorado, Bend, and Portland, and then we went to Washington. It was amazing. Like, amazing, amazing, amazing. From even just the scenery, to be out there, to breathe the air, it's so clean and clear, and then to see so many, you know, ultimately strangers at first be so receptive and so warm and welcoming, you know, to becoming like true supporters, amazing. And throughout the whole, I would say like every single stop was surprising to me to see how much support of reggae there is in the U.S. I know it's here, of course, but to see it outside of places that you normally hear about, like, you know, California is well known for that in certain places, and New York and Florida, but to be in places like Ohio and, you know, Pennsylvania and just see the love, it's blessings, blessings, blessings. So I didn't necessarily pick a favorite place, but everywhere has their vibes. It's special performing in Jamaica too. I went to Belize and Trinidad. There's many places that are so special. Okay, I'll pick the state and I'll say California as the state, because there are many stops in California. I'm in love with San Diego, and I love, like I said, Colorado and Washington. So I'm gonna choose the state of California. Has been like some of the best experiences that I've had thus far.
So you mentioned that you're tour with Ziggy Marley, so can you kind of bridge the gap between you releasing that mixtape and then how you got to tour with Ziggy Marley?
Okay, so the releasing of the mixtape was in 2014, and since 2014 to 2022, I had you know, a bunch of singles released. Had a collab with Warrior King and different artists. You know, did our own little tour when, especially when Chatham was released, we went to Jamaica, and then a few later, years later, we went to Trinidad and Belize. We went to different states in the U.S. to perform. We're blessed to open for like Sizzla, Itana, Rita Mar, not Rita, Marcia Griffiths. And then, you know, just to be among some wonderful ones. So the experience that has happened from then till now has been, you know, quite a few. Yeah, so 2020 is when I was able to kind of switch gears and focus on the EP, because the pandemic shut down a lot of things for me in terms of a business that I was running with someone else. So that's when it really went and crushed the EP. And then from 2020 to 2021, that was a whole process of mixing and mastering and getting the musicians. We went to Jamaica and got some amazing musicians to work on the EP. And from there, we were just planning to release the EP when my manager at the time reached out, and he pretty much pitched my music. They heard it, and they liked what they heard, and they wanted to hear more. And then, you know, we started talking on works that we have, and the EP was the next thing in line. So it just worked out that, you know, we were able to work out for them to be distributors of the project. And then some months later, you know, dates came, and we were able to confirm, you know, earlier this year. And then it was, yeah, it was on from there.
We're going to move on to your next selection, which is Midnight Unpolished album. Why did you choose this selection?
Powerful album. This is one of my favorite albums from Midnight, and Midnight has a lot of music out there, albums. Rest in peace, Von Benjamin. But super crucial point in my life, super crucial song that just made an imprint. Very powerful messages in there, same way.
Here we go with the first song from Midnight's Unpolished album, Bushman. Now, I'm sure touring with Ziggy Marley, you must have had some stories, some different experiences on tour. Can you share any of those with us?
With the answer again?
Yeah.
Okay, so the most amazing thing that I got to witness was their execution. Because these are like top musicians within the reggae world, or just the world, you know, and they did a whole Europe run before it took a few weeks in between the U.S. started. We did 9 dates, and then we took a pause. Well, I took a pause, and they continued throughout Florida. They did a run with Jack Johnson, and then we connected again West Coast to finish up the remaining of the tour. And, you know, this for me, this is my first time doing a 9-date touring like this. So to imagine that people are doing this for like a month plus, and then they are like, you know, amazing every single time. That was like a very blessed experience to see. And, you know, just to be around good people, give thanks for, you know, Ziggy's vibe. He's a family man and, you know, down to earth and real cool. So I feel blessed. I feel blessed.
We've heard all of your 7 reggae selections, so now we're going to hear your own works. Would you like to introduce your song with a collaboration with Medicine?
Medicine, yes, I. So this song is called I Know, and this one is dedicated to everyone out there going through something. You know, it's not easy right now. It kind of hasn't been easy, but keep your head up while we keep moving forward. This one is for you.
Body's coming to think of fire, fire. Ready? Never steady, never dead.
And tribulations come your way. Don't lose faith, don't you stray. The Most High Jah will guide your way. Every day, keep strong and pray. When you can't find no job, you know how food fit
eat.
Your family struggling, your children crying. No money, not run. Fake friends, not their bone. When times get hard, we call quickest back down. Oh, oh, yeah. Keep your head up.
Yeah, yeah. Hold up your head for this, and none of time to be defeated. Knowledge over thesis, it reveal the keys to deeper reasoning. One cycle ending, and relief is what the people seeking. But don't you be deceived, remember Marcus Garvey's teaching. Confidence is the key to self-determination.
Ancestral powers ever guide our ways.
So we step without no fear like the lion, and so we strong.
Oh, but Allah like the sun, we are gonna rise again.
So the next song of yours that we're going to hear is another collaboration with Blizzy. Would you like to introduce this one for us?
Yes, I. This song, Vibin, is a feel-good song. It is for the lovers, the one where you just want to spend some good time with their significant other and just hold a vibe. It's Afrobeat style. It's just pure vibes.
I'm vibing, just cruising. Tell me, won't you say something? Won't you say something? The cause I'm vibing. Just grooving. Tell me, won't you say something? Won't you say something? There's something about ya. Cannot do without ya. My love's around ya. I think it's safe to say that I can give you what you want. Love is all you need. Look, come over, chant the songs, yeah. Energy remedy. Give you all my love, hey. Cause I'm vibing. Just cruising. Tell me, won't you say something? Won't you say something? Cause I'm vibing. Just grooving. Tell me, won't you say something, won't you say something?
Safe and secure, your love surrounds me. Attend to my needs. And I don't have to worry, cause I know that you got me and I got you. Always and forever, we'll make
now, before we hear the final one of your own works called Sweet, could you tell us if you could perform with any five artists, who would they be?
Any five artists? Okay, so definitely. I definitely say Burnin because he's the boss. Burnin Spears, a great one. I would choose Chronix. I would choose Judy Moore just because she's tough. I would choose. It's a very good one. I would choose India or Lauryn Hill, and I would say someone else that I would want to perform with. Man, there's so many. I'm trying to choose one and not leave out anybody, but I can't do that. Do they have to be living?
No.
Bob. Bob Marley for sure.
Now we're going to finish off the show with your song called Sweet. Can you tell our listeners where they can find you if they would like to support your works?
Yeah. Okay, so this next one is called Sweet. It's in dancehall style. It's promoting, you know, going out to dance, having fun, but to leave the machines at home. Like, we have too many people, you know, dying. We just want to have some good time, fun. And yeah, Sweet. But you can find me on all social media platforms. I am Kazaya, and that's spelled Kazayah.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your time, your story, and your works with all of us here at Reggae Uprising Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's episode. If you would like to connect with this week's guest, all of those links are in the description for you to connect, for you to share their works, check out their music and their videos also. If you would like to connect with me, all you need to do is go to daniel.co.uk. That's daniel.co.uk. That link is also in the description as well. I'm going to leave you with the high vibrations of Kazaya Sweet. Please make sure you're back here next Wednesday for a fresh and new episode. Until then, and as always, blessed love.
Sweet. 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 Say it's sweet. Say it's sweet, sweet, me, baby. Loving when you're rocking.
sweet, me sweet, me baby. Lord, I'm a machine, I'm gonna love ya. Easy, me selector, as me rock now coming. So not fit touch the mic, cause the rhythm is sweet. Pick up agenda, wadada, I that music studio, we day ya all night. Tune into the frequency, I and I place. Transmuting energy through these sonic waves. Vibes up, Bill, herbs up, low. Sevens clash, thunder roll when it's sweet. Say it's sweet, it's sweet, me baby. Love it when you rock and free up your good day. Say it's sweet, me baby. Blow the machine and go love your lady. Say it's sweet, me baby. Love it when you rock and free up your good day. Say it's sweet. Transmitting energy through these sonic waves. Vibes up, Bill.